Today on Path of Grace.
You won't always be the way you are, and I won't always be the way I am. Aren't you glad? One day our Savior, who we wait for, is going to transform our lowly body, this body of humiliation. We're going to be conformed to His body of glory. We're going to be like Him, and nothing this world throws at us, not even our own struggles, our weakness or sin, or the attacks of the enemy or other people or starvation or destitution or anything else, is going to alter it. We are predestined for it. It is our destiny.
Love so.
For the last week or so, we have been looking at some things that have really kind of put a new fire in my heart and taken me to a place of even greater humility and adoration for God, causing me to want to worship God in a way that I'm not sure I ever have before. We've been talking about our identity as believers and what all that entails. Remember that Paul, in his letters, he didn't refer to believers as sinners saved by grace, which is what we typically call ourselves, right? And that's a true statement. We were born into sin and we are saved by God's grace. But Paul refers to us as saints. And for the last several studies, we've been looking at what that means for us, what that says about us right here and right now. And today we're going to look at some things that have to do with what it means for us in the future. We're going to start off in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open up to it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. If you're sitting at your computer, go to BibleGateway.com and you can follow along with me in Young's Literal Translation, which is what I'm going to be using again today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. You know this verse. For our citizenship is in the heavens, whence also a Savior we await, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about that phrase, our citizenship is in the heavens, and that's what people typically focus on in this chapter, at least in this section of it. But I want you to see what Paul has to say in verse 21. Again, verse 20, our citizenship is in the heavens, whence also a Savior we await, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 21, who shall transform the body of our humiliation to its becoming conformed to the body of His glory, according to the working of His power, even to subject to Himself the all things. Paul is telling us there is going to come a time when we will be changed. Christ is going to transform the body of our humiliation. Wow, what a way to describe the bodies we currently wear. The body of our humiliation. Some translations use the term lowly body. He will transform our lowly body. The body you are wearing right now, which gets sick, that grows old, it wears out. Right now, it is in the process of dying. This body that you and I were born with, it's filled with death and sin. It's a condition of all of us as descendants of Adam. These bodies will be transformed. They're not going to be just improved upon a little bit. It's not like a fixer-upper, but a transformation. These lowly bodies, these bodies of humiliation, are going to be transformed to the body of His glory. We're going to be made to have glorious bodies. We're going to be made to have a gloriousness like Christ. And Paul tells us that it's not through our own effort. He says it's according to the working of His power, even to subject to Himself the all things. Man, this is something He will do. You know, as we live life here and now, as children of God, as saints, Father is always at work, like a potter. He's molding us, He's shaping us, He's disciplining us. Sometimes He uses very painful means to teach us and to grow us up and to trim away the flesh. And most of us try to cooperate during the process most of the time, right? And we long to be a reflection of Him. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Christ. I want to love as He loves. I want to have compassion as He has compassion. I want to be merciful and gracious and forgiving the way He is. That's what I aim for. And you probably do too. But if you notice that even as you do grow and changes take place and you mature a little bit, have you noticed that you still fall short? That's what the word sin means. You fall short. Have you noticed that at times in your thoughts or your attitude, some of the things you find yourself doing, you don't really look very Jesus-y? Well, you aren't alone. It's that way for all of us. It's part of being human. And if we didn't have truth like what Paul shares with us here, it would be very easy to just give up. And I have been at that place in my life where I just wanted to give up. What's the use? Religion had kind of programmed me that it's about me making myself better. Well, what's the use? I might as well quit. I'm not making myself any better. Well, listen, Christ did not come to bring us an earthly self-improvement plan. It's way beyond that. You know, He does work on us here and now. He alters and changes things. But it's not going to be complete here. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that you and me, all of us, we are still wearing bodies that he calls mortal and corruptible. We're mortal because death dwells in us. Adam brought that into our bloodline. We're corruptible because sin dwells in us. Adam brought that into our bloodline as well. And we wrestle with it every day. But Paul tells us that one day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I wish it were today. But one day our Savior is going to transform us. The body of humiliation, our lowly body, it's going to be conformed to His glory. And the Apostle John, he describes it in a very wonderful way. In 1 John chapter 3, he tells us it hasn't yet appeared what we will be like, but what we do know is that when He appears, we will be like Him. Think about that. One day you will be like Him. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Wearing these bodies we wear now, seeing ourselves with all of our flaws and our pimples and our blemishes and the sin of our lives, to think that we will literally, truly be like Him, it's amazing. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Christ is the image of God the Father. He says the same thing in Colossians chapter 1. Christ is the image of the Father, the reflection of the Father. When we look at Christ, we see Father. We see His nature. We see His character, His mercy, His compassion, His love, and His grace. And we're going to be transformed to reflect Him, to be like Him. Think for a moment about the beautiful and glorious things you see in Christ. Now think about it. Christ wasn't trying to be that way. Christ simply was that way. We try to be like Him, right? But that's the way Christ was. And think about those glorious, beautiful things that at this point in time, we don't always see in ourselves, even though we try. One day, those glorious and beautiful things will be what we are. No longer will we be trying to be Jesus-y. It will be what we are and who we are. We will be like Him, perfectly reflecting the love, the nature, the character of our Heavenly Father in every way, all the time, not just in some way, some of the time, which is the way it is for all of us now. And again, I look at the world, I look in the mirror, and daily I say, I can't wait. He shall transform the body of our humiliation to its becoming conformed to the body of His glory, according to the working of His power, even to subject to Himself the all things. We're going to be like Him. My friend, for lack of a better way to put it, this is your destiny and mine. And according to Paul, it's all of grace, and it's all by God's power. It has been foreordained by Father, or some translations word it, it's been predestined. This is your destiny. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at quite a bit of this chapter because it's so good and so rich. We've looked at it several times over the past couple of months. Just for fun, let's start in verse 1, and we're going to work our way quite a ways down into this chapter. Again, I'm reading from Young's Literal Translation. Ephesians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. I want you to notice as we go through these verses how often Paul talks about the will of God. and God working things according to his will. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, but it's through the will of God, not through my own will, not through my own effort or my own merit. It was simply the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I think Paul might be implying here that not all saints are always faithful. We want to be, but it's not always the case. Paul says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did bless us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, we don't see all the blessings yet, but every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places has been given to us in Christ, and one day we will see it, we'll know it, we'll experience fully every spiritual blessing. Then verse 4, it's huge. According as he did choose us in him before the foundation of the world, for our being holy and unblemished before him in love. He chose you, he chose me before the foundation of the world to be holy and unblemished before him in love. And in our last several studies over the past week or so, we've seen over and over again in Paul's evangel from Christ that holiness, being unblemished, being justified, being declared righteous, it's all wrapped up in Christ. He has presented us to the Father as holy, blameless, and above reproach. He has cleansed us with his blood. He has redeemed us. He has purchased us. He has paid for our sins. He declares us righteous. And it's all by grace, which means it's not based upon our merit or performance. If it was based upon us and our performance, we would be our own saviors, and we would be exalting self and worshiping self and bragging about ourselves and telling everyone about ourselves rather than telling people about the Lord and worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord and bragging about the Lord. Verse 5, having foreordained us or predestined us, as some translations word it, predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It's a good pleasure of God. It's a good pleasure of his will to do all that he has done and all that he will do, including you and me being transformed into the image of his son to be like him. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, in which he did make us accepted in the beloved. We talked a few days ago about us being the beloved. He is the one that made us accepted in the beloved. And because of that, we give him praise and we worship him because it's all of him. For reference, the passage I refer you to often, Romans chapter 5. You can read that for homework. Verse 7, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the remission of the trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Our redemption is through his blood, not ours. And our sins, our trespasses have been removed according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. Verse 8, in which he did abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the secret of his will, according to his good pleasure, that he purposed in himself in regard to the dispensation of the fullness of the times. In other words, throughout all of the ages, to the fullness, through the consummation, to the end of all of the ages, to bring into one the whole in the Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth in him, in whom also we did obtain an inheritance, being, here's this word again, foreordained according to the purpose of him who the all things is working according to the counsel of his will. Pretty wordy, isn't it? Here's what he's saying. It's God's pleasure. It is his will. It is your destiny. You've been foreordained and predestined to receive an inheritance, to be an heir with Christ. We talked about that a few days ago. And ultimately, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this should give you peace. And Paul says it's all grace, and this grace is mind-boggling. I want you to turn to another passage that talks about our destiny being predestined or appointed in advance to these things. Romans chapter 8. This is a chapter that has probably one of the most famous verses in the entire Bible, Romans 8, 28. You'll recognize it. If you don't have it memorized already, you'll recognize it whenever we get to it. It might sound a little bit different, though, in Young's literal translation. Let's start in Romans 8, 28. And we have known that to those loving God, all things do work together for good, to those who are called according to purpose or called according to his purpose. Now think for a moment about who wrote these words. Paul. a guy who had spent a large portion of his life really as a completely misguided religious leader. He wanted to please God. He wanted to know God, but he was way off track. So much so, he was persecuting the church. He was imprisoning believers. He took part in the execution of some. And Paul says that we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to God's purpose. Paul would reflect on his life and say, you know what? That worked for the good. It was according to the purpose of God. We just read in Ephesians that God works all things according to the counsel of his will. And that would include the extensive chapter in Paul's life where he was completely jacked up and off track. God used that to mold and shape him like the potter molding the clay to make Paul into this apostle of grace, the one who could then bring the message, Christ came to save sinners of whom I am chief. Now, I'm sure that as Paul reflected on his life, just like you and just like me, there were a lot of things he was sorrowful over, filled with regret over, things about his past that he hated. Do you have some of those things? You look back and you go, oh man, I hate that I did that. I hate that I thought that. I hate that I didn't get that. But yet, Paul came to know that God was at work even in that, working his purpose in it all. Paul would later go out serving the Lord. He would be completely on track, and he would be beaten up. He was beaten with rods. He was thrown in jail. He was stoned by a mob and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He experienced times of near starvation. He was bitten by a snake. He was lied about and beaten up some more. And this was when he was serving God with all of his heart. We would look at all those things and we're like, oh my goodness, we must have slipped through God's hands. God's not paying attention. The devil's out to get me. But he says, you know what? We have known that to those loving God, all things do work together for good to those who are called according to God's purpose. That is a huge, huge truth. Verse 29, because whom he did foreknow, he also did foreappoint, conformed to the image of his son. So here we see it again. Father has foreappointed, preordained, predestined for you, my believing friend, to be conformed to the image of his son. One day you will be like him. It is your destiny. Verse 29 again, because whom he did foreknow, he also did foreappoint, conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And whom he did foreappoint, these also he did call. And whom he did call, these also he declared righteous. And whom he declared righteous, these also he did glorify. He foreappointed you. He predestined you. He called you. He declared you righteous. And he glorified you. And Christ, he says, would be the firstborn among many brethren. That's us. We are the object of Father's focus in this passage. But who is it that did the predestining, the calling, the declaring righteous? Who does the glorifying? It's not me and it's not you. It's all him. And again, that should take us to a place of peace, because it causes us to take our eyes off of self and to place our eyes on him and to worship our wonderful, glorious, and gracious God rather than exalting self, which is what a lot of religious effort causes people to do. Verse 31, what then shall we say unto these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who indeed his own son did not spare, but for us all did deliver him up, how shall he not also with him the all things grant to us? Now we saw a few days ago, we're heirs with Christ. What is his will one day be ours, right? He's a firstborn among many brethren, and this is all mind-boggling. We read a little while ago that we're going to be like him, and Paul wants us to rest in that, to rest in our Savior, to live with peace, which is why he started this letter within the first few sentences with grace and peace to you, right? This is amazing stuff. It's huge stuff, and it's your destiny. It's what you were predestined for, and it's all wrapped up in him. Peek down at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of the Christ? Who? No one. Then he says, tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. That pretty much covers the bases of rotten stuff, doesn't it? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us from the love of Christ? none of these things, as painful as they may be. Think about those words: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. These things will not separate us from the love of Christ. Look at verse 36. According as it hath been written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We were reckoned as sheep of slaughter. Now, this is some hard stuff. You look at history, and the early believers were literally reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. But Paul knew that the physical, the things we see, that's not all there is. In another place, he talked about this type of suffering as temporary light affliction. Christ talked about his followers being hated, lied about, and killed. But he also said, great will be your reward in heaven. Listen, my friend, life is hard. Christ promised that it would be. And we see in the lives of the early church, in the lives of the apostles, including Paul, that it was really rough. They were reckoned as sheep to the slaughter. But then look at verse 37. But in all these, we more than conquer through him who loved us. Now check this out in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor messengers, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things about to be, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing left out of that. I can't think of anything. Nothing the world throws at you, nothing the enemy throws at you, no place you can go at any height or depth, and no created thing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that. No created thing. No other human being. No other spiritual being, nothing that anyone else might do, nothing. And that created thing would also include you, by the way. Are you a created thing? Yeah. No created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Again, I find encouragement in this, and you should as well. Even in the midst of the most stupid thing you might do, those things that might leave you feeling, and that's a key word, feeling defeated, or make you feel like giving up, or feel like whatever. Paul shares this truth with you so that you won't give up, so that you will live with hope, knowing that regardless of what you might experience in this life, that this isn't all there is. Nothing will separate you from the love of God, and you won't always be the way you are, and I won't always be the way I am. Aren't you glad about all of that? One day our Savior, who we wait for, is going to transform our lowly body, this body of humiliation. We're going to be conformed to his body of glory. We're going to be like him. And nothing this world throws at us, not even our own struggles, our weakness, or sin, or the attacks of the enemy, or other people, or starvation, or destitution, or anything else, is going to alter it. We are predestined for it. It is our destiny. And as we wait, we walk by faith, not by sight, believing and resting in this glorious truth. I'm James Flanders, and I'm slowly learning to rest in the grace of God as I look forward to that day when we will be like him. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.